You know, we're continuing on in the series on the Lord's Prayer. Again, something that we've been talking about, not so much as the Lord's Prayer being a pattern for us that we need to learn how to pray the words of it, but learn how to pray in the spirit of it. What is it that Jesus is trying to teach us about prayer that comes out of this pattern that we have grown so accustomed to and come so familiar with? Because I believe there's something about prayer that I really do believe. One, God does move and respond in response to prayer. But also the prayer is far more than that. Prayer is about, and this is why I believe God gave it to us, prayer is about the changing of the way that we see God. There is an attitude shift that comes as we engage in prayer, real prayer, that begins to change the way we see God, and it is intended to help us also begin to change the way we see ourselves. And it's also intended for us to begin to see the world and how we live in the world differently as well. There's a verse that comes not out of the Lord's Prayer, but it comes out of Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, very famous passage of Scripture that tells us that we are not to be anxious about anything. You know, I'm going to read the rest of that verse. In fact, I've got it on the screen behind me right now so that you can read it too, because this is an important verse. It kind of speaks to this whole issue that I'm talking about prayer being more than just getting things we want. But it really has to do with beginning to readjust our attitude, readjust our place, readjust our vision for how we see God, how we see ourselves, how we see life that God has given to us. And as we see in Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. And anyone who has been anxious at all this week, this verse is then for you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, that's an amazing verse, because it recognizes that this world that we live in and the lives that we lead are often filled with moments of anxiousness. There are all kinds of situations that are going on, all kinds of events that transpire that are so far beyond our control, and that fear of what may be coming next because of that lack of control can move us to a place of our hearts being just completely riddled with anxiety, which is going to steal out all of the goodness of life that God intends. And so God has given us a path, and that path that is to take us out of, not take us out of this world, but to remove that toxin of anxiety out of our life. That path of removing that, he gives us right here in this passage where he says, it is by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, presenting our requests to God. Now, praying for a lot of us, the part of praying that often comes easiest for us is this idea of presenting our request to God. In fact, a lot of times when we begin to break down and struggle with how vital our prayer life feels, it often feels kind of a little mealy, not very strong at all. And often it's because what we tend to make the primary focus of our prayer diet is this presenting our request to God. That's why we have patterns of prayer that are there for us, where this idea of presenting our request to God is a part of the prayer, but it's not the only prayer. It's not the only part that makes up prayer. And we're going to see that over and over and over again. You know, about 40 years ago, I was introduced to a prayer pattern. This is something that was not in the Bible, but they said it was built on biblical principles, and it would help transform your prayer life. Instead of always praying, God, I need this, God, I need this, God, I need this, why don't we have a little more fuller conversation with God? And so one of the things that the prayer pattern, which it was referred to as the ACTS pattern, because it would be easy to remember if we could remember that, is that you begin your prayer with something that they refer to as adoration, where you come into the presence of God and you take some time to praise him for who he is. The second feature of that was then confession, C. And confession was that we begin to get ourselves right. We begin to make ourselves clean. We begin to dump all the stuff that we've done wrong or all the things that we have struggled with. We begin to just pour them out, put them there. Yes, but because God wants us to come clean before him. The third piece of that particular pattern was thanksgiving, because once we have given our praise to God, and once we have come clean before him, now we can give him thanks, not only for forgiveness, but for all the things that he has done for us. We can be thankful. We can be a thankful people. And so then when we finally moved to stage four, which was what they called supplication, which is this idea of presenting your request to God. It's that same thing that comes out of Philippians 4:6. It's the same thing that we're going to find in Matthew 6:11 when we talk about the Lord's Prayer today. The idea of when we come to God, not just always about what I want and what I need, but that we come to God out of this place of, you know, of recognizing who he is, of getting ourselves in the proper position, of then coming to a sense out of a place of thankfulness, then when we request these things, it is a different type of prayer. It allows us to see God differently, not just our one who's going to give us stuff, but it also begins to help us see our life better. So that's part of what the idea of prayer patterns and prayer is. It's not to create a legalistic pattern that we are to check off. And sometimes we do that with things like the Lord's Prayer, don't we? That we may say it, we get all the words right, and maybe we left out a line, but I think we got them all in there, but I really wasn't paying attention too closely because we get into a routine. And that's not what Jesus was looking for. Jesus was looking to give us a pattern that begins to say, this is what it means for us to pray. So let's go ahead and take a look. In Matthew chapter 6, this is where we've been primarily for the last couple of weeks. We'll be here for a couple more weeks as we go through Matthew's version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And we'll see that there's a similar pattern here, that Jesus is doing a similar type thing, saying, hey, when you pray, let's not make it just a one-sided conversation. When you pray, let's come and make this a full time of prayer so that it becomes a full meal for prayer that begins to nourish us and change the way we see the world and how we approach the world. Remember, in the last couple of weeks, this is where we started, right? Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Been here, right? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Now, before I go on to that last line that you'll see there in verse 11, this has been kind of our part of our preliminary, and it kind of follows similarly to what we were saying that other pattern was too. It gives us time to focus a little bit on God rather than being focused on me and my stuff. It focuses our attention on God. It kind of makes it, this prayer begins by being more God-centered than me-centered, and this is an important feature in prayer. That if we want to really begin to feel a sense of connecting, moving, being changed, and changing things, we need to recognize that it's not going to be centered on me because it's not up to me. But it's going to be centered on who God is. And so that's why the Lord's Prayer, I think, is such a beautiful example of what it means to take that time as we come into this prayer, to take that time to hallow his name. We talked about that. What does it mean to honor him, to lift him up, to praise him for who he is? To take this time to just recognize and rest. Before we move into all the things that are wrong, to rest in what is right, to find goodness and strength and being restored by just simply taking time here. Again, more than just what it takes for me to say these words. Because if all we're doing is saying these words, we're missing the point. But to recognize who God is, that we can come to him and that he is worthy of our adoration is an important beginner. The idea of kingdom coming and his will being done on earth as in heaven, again, recognizes a God-centeredness, doesn't it? Because a lot of times in our prayer life, we just jump all of a sudden right into, this is what I want. This is what my will would be. Help me find a way to get to what my destination should be. And oftentimes, I think this is part of what this Lord's Prayer pattern gives to us again. It keeps the focus where? Not on me, but on God. God's, let it, your will be done. On earth, here, right now, even as is being done in heaven. In my life, even right now, as is being done in heaven. I want to have that kind of connectivity in my prayer where I recognize God for his goodness and I rest in him. It becomes, again, a God-centric prayer. And yet, even in this God-centric prayer, we see that there's still room for us. But it's a God-centric way. I'll point that out here in just a moment. Even as we get to this last line that we're going to look at today, before we move on into the rest of the prayer next week and the week following, this part of the prayer calls us to invite him to give us this day our daily bread. Now, I know that's not news to any of you, is it? Did all of you know that's what we're going to ask for? Yep, I think 100%. Okay, so that's not new. But again, what is going on here and why are we invited to pray that prayer? And in that way, it's not a moving from being God-centric to now being me-centric. It is actually being recognizing and revealing my dependence on God. You know, there's a heart shift that happens, and it needs to happen for all of us. And I think it's part of what the Holy Spirit wants to begin to coach us through as we pray, that we move from this is what I want, to give to me everything that I have need of. You see, it's even taking us out of the driver's seat here. It is recognizing that we are completely dependent on God, even for something as basic as our daily bread. Now, living in the world we live in today, 21st century North Americans, all of us, with all the affluence that we're surrounded by, I know none of us feel rich, but quite honestly, in the scope of the world and historically certainly, we don't have the struggles we have with wondering whether or not we will eat tomorrow. Most of us don't. None of us here in this room do. Did anyone get up this morning saying, boy, I wonder if I will be able to eat today or not? I haven't eaten for a long time. I don't know if I'll get any food today. No, we don't. That's not who we are. That's not where we rest. And I'm not saying that to make us feel somehow guilty that we've got so much. We do, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is to remind us that even those things that we assume are just a given. Or maybe we say, hey, you know, I've worked hard to get to this place in life where I don't have to worry about having food or not. All those things that we say, hey, I have worked hard or I'm going to assume it, those are things we should not assume. We should recognize those as God's gifts as well. Big things, little things, all these things, he invites us to bring them and say, this is what I have need of. This is what I have need of and what you are providing for me. Yes, can I pray for that test that I have coming up that I don't know what's going to turn out, if it's going to be cancer or not cancer? Yes, we can pray for that. You know, can we pray for that job that I'm hoping to attain because that would be a blessing for my family? Can I pray for that? Yes, of course. That is part of what we have need for. We can lift those prayers up. But let's not overlook the other prayers that often we say, I got it covered. I've got enough money in the bank. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. But next year, maybe I'll be anxious about that. See, this is trying to set us free from that whole anxiety trap that says we can learn to trust and there's a dependence on God that this prayer presents for us that goes way beyond where we normally go. Now, it's interesting to me, again, as a certified Bible nerd, it is interesting to me that I find this fascinating, that when Jesus prayed that, it was not just words that you and I hear. This, you have to listen to it as how would those original hearers of him hear this? And when he prays for their daily bread, he is talking to these Jewish people in the first century for whom their faith history had a very significant story about God providing what the children of Israel needed in the wilderness, something called manna. In Exodus 6, it talks about this story that after the children of Israel led out of Egypt, and if this is new to you, it's a great story to read, that God has delivered his children out of Egypt, and he is now taking them into the wilderness, and in the wilderness, they're going to spend 40 years. They don't know that yet, but they know they're going to be in the wilderness for a time. And in this place of them crying out to God, saying, we don't even have any food here to eat, and there's, Costco is closed, you know? What are we going to do? They're not even in McDonald's on the street corners in wilderness and desert. You know, it's just, there's just nothing out there. And so into that place of their recognizing their abject dependence on God, God provides something that could be called their daily bread. Because in Exodus 6, it talks about what God is going to do. He is going to rain down for them. In fact, it's on the screen. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people are to go out how often? Each day to gather enough for how long? That day. That's it. This was a daily bread. This was a daily provision. This was a training of the people of Israel to recognize that yes, there were things for them to do, but they were first and foremost to become completely dependent and recognize God's provision all along the way. And the manna was, in fact, to be that. In this way, I will test them to see whether they follow my instructions. And on the sixth day, this was a cool part. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in so that there's twice as much as they gather on the other days. Because on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the holy day, they weren't going to go out at all. And now every other day, if they brought in more, you know, because people are smart. You and I, we're smart, aren't we? If I can go out and pick up more off the ground, that would be enough for today and tomorrow, that would save me a trip, right? It would save me the effort. It would save me the work. It would save me having to trust God tomorrow. I could have enough for today and tomorrow. Maybe even the next day I could get enough into my little tent and I'd be good. I'd be set. But God said, no, you can't do that. If you try to do that, if you try to gather more for today, more than you need today, and gather enough so that you don't have to trust me tomorrow, it's going to rot. It's going to become full of maggots and everyone's going to smell it and they're going to know that you were not being obedient, that you were not trusting. You know, I think today for most of us, it's not that we have manna that is rotting and full of maggots, but we have lives that are so riddled with anxiety that people around us recognize that. They see that. And they can smell the anxiety that we walk around, the aroma that comes off of us because we're worried and we're filled with discouragement and we have all these things going on because we are, why? Because we are not looking to this one who says, trust me and pray that I will provide for you all that you have need of, your daily bread. Okay, one last little piece here. This is, again, God-centered. This is, again, radically dependent upon God that we say we're going to do this. And what we tend to do, because we shift, we just naturally shift. We get to that place where we say, I've got this. I've got plenty. I've got this. All I really need God for is the extra things, the out-of-the-ordinary things, the things that I can't control. And we kind of fashion our world to make it look like that we've got 90% done. All we need is God for that little extra 10%. But the Lord's Prayer reminds us that no, that we are to come instead and say, I need God. I need you to provide for it all, for all of it. And when I get that all of it, I will be thankful for it because I wouldn't have survived without it. How many of us get to the end of the day and say, thank you, Jesus, I survived another day? We don't. Why? Because we expect we're going to. It's just a given. And so we don't give God thanks for it. We just expect it. This prayer reminds us that everything we have is from him, and so we can look to him because of his goodness. We can trust him for it. That was the image of the manna. They didn't have to wonder, gosh, will he bring it again tomorrow? No, they just had to be faithful and be willing to trust him for tomorrow. And so that's where it comes back to us, that we need to learn this new abundance of trust that relies on the abundance of his goodness, not on our white-knuckled attempts to try to control and make the world into our image. When we pray that way, that's all up to God, then we can trust him and give him thanks for the good things. When we pray that we've got it all we need is the extras, when he doesn't deliver those extras, then we're butthurt, right? We're angry that God didn't come through the way we wanted. And it just changes our attitude. It changes our attitude just completely. And that's what Jesus is trying to get at here for us. Not only is he getting us to recognize that God is provider and that we can come to him with our needs, even the most mundane things like our daily bread, but he's reminding us that his goodness is what we are relying on. You know, we see that over and over and over again throughout the Bible. Some of the other famous verses we run across. Psalm 23. Anyone know the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I lack nothing. I have all I need. Those are all versions or renditions of what that second phrase is about. Because God is my shepherd, I have all that I need. It is a changing, it is a shifting, it is a mentality that in the midst of our prayers, we are invited not to become, go from being God-centric to now me-centric, but to remain in that place of keeping God as the focus so that we can become a more thankful people rather than an anxious people. There's a saying, a quote, and I'd like to just lift it up for you here today. This comes from Rabbi Hyman Schachtel, and he said this, "Happiness is not having what you want, but it's wanting what you have." Now, it's not Bible, but there's a lot of truth in it. There's that sense of saying, this is what God has provided for me, and I'm going to celebrate and rejoice in it. Maybe it's not all of what I could imagine it being, and maybe it's not everything that I wanted. But rather than being angry at God for not delivering 100%, I'm going to be thankful for the 99 and say, this is what God has given to me. Again, keeping us there in that place. Often, okay, and this is the last piece, just because it is about praying for our needs. I want to just say that oftentimes the reason we don't find that God seems to respond to our prayers as much hope is because we don't pray really very well. We're inconsistent prayers. I recognize this because it's me, and I'm sure it's many of us, that we tend to pray because we feel it today, but then the next day maybe we're not feeling that same prayer, and the next day we're not feeling it either, and then we say, hey, you know what, I prayed about this and God never did anything. We say, huh, I wonder why God didn't do anything. Maybe something that's a kind of a little trick or a thing that if you are interested in continuing to grow your prayer life, a way of working on a prayer list that kind of keeps your prayers before you. So that as you're praying for this situation, this event, this person in your life, as you're praying for them, it doesn't just one day this and then wait for another month until you pray for them again, but it becomes part of what you pray over and over again, and it keeps our focus, again, not on my will to be worked out in them, but for God's will to be worked out through it all, and it just keeps us in a place of being more dependent. So a prayer list, you know, keeping track of both our thanks as well as the things that anxious, or a prayer journal that you can go back through and read about how you've been praying this, and you're going to continue to stay on point and allow God to work through and see when he comes and responds, or see how our view begins to change. There's a lot of things that we can do when it comes to this part of presenting our request to God, of praying for our daily bread. And I think it's just all here for us. So let me pray over us and we'll continue on. But I want to encourage you, if you're saying this is going to change a little bit of how I pray this week, come on back next week because it continues on. Jesus, in this pattern for prayer, is going to continue to unveil some things for us, some things that are going to probably actually kind of blow the cover off what prayer is all about next week as we move forward in this time of the Lord's Prayer. So, Father, we do want to come before you and thank you and lay ourselves at your feet as we consider all the things that are going on around us and those reasons that we have to become fearful or depressed or anxious or angry. God, all of those things, all those emotions that flow around us that often flow out of our disappointment or frustrations in life. I ask you to come and just to remind us, to hold us, to reveal to us your goodness, to enable us in this week to pray for our necessities, our daily bread, to recognize that each and every day is a gift from you, and to move into that moment with a heightened sense of your goodness in the midst of all of our needs. So, Lord, we offer to you this day, this prayer, that you would give us today our daily bread. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.